House Committee on Commerce, Subcommittee on Trade and Economic Development on Wednesday, March 3, 1999, at 1 p.m. in Hearing Room 350 of the State Capitol Building.
Meeting of the Subcommittee on Trade and Economic Development to order, please. And I'm going to open a public hearing and open the public hearing first on Senate Bill 188. And Jason, why don't you tell us about this and what we're doing?
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 188 eliminates the Oregon Investment Council's authority to formulate policies for investment funds in the Oregon Growth Account. It requires the investment officer to separately identify investments held in the Oregon Growth Account when reporting on the Educational Endowment Fund. It clarifies the Oregon Growth Account Board's authority to contract for needed investment advice and services. It also requires the State Treasurer to provide staff for the Oregon Growth Account Board and defines confidential records. This bill declares an emergency effective on passage. A little bit of background, the Oregon Growth Account was created in 1995 to earn returns for the Educational Endowment Fund by making investments in emerging growth businesses, in particular in key industries and affordable housing in Oregon. The Oregon Educational Endowment Fund, established in 95, appropriates all earnings on monies in the fund in the following amounts: 75% to state school fund, 25% to the State Scholarship Commission for Need Grants. The key industries, as traded sector industries, make a major contribution to the economy of Oregon, including but not limited to forest products, ag products, high tech, primary and fabricated metals, fisheries, interstate and international tourism. This bill has made it through the Senate. The Senate Committee on General Government discussed Educational Endowment Fund, reasons for creating the growth account, and the need for confidentiality. It passed in the Senate 28-0, with two people being gone on business.
Thank you. So since it has passed the Senate, we probably should take a very close look at it and probably spend hours and hours of testimony on it, I'm sure. Well, speaking of hours and hours of testimony.
Hopefully we won't bore you for hours and hours. It's fairly concise. It sounds a little bit more complex, and I think it'll spell out. For the record, my name is Raleigh Wisbrock. I'm Chief of Staff of the Oregon Treasury. And with me is Cynthia Burns from the Department of Justice, who has helped us to craft these bills and has worked with us on the Oregon Growth Account. And allows you to have access to the legal minds who have helped us to say this is what we need to improve the Oregon Growth Account. Just very briefly, the history of the Oregon Growth Account. A couple sessions ago, we developed the concept of the Oregon Growth Account in cooperation with the Trade and Economic Development Committee. It was at the time that Senator Gordon Smith had proposed the idea of the Educational Endowment Fund. We'd sat down with Senator Smith and said, if we do this Educational Endowment Fund, because it's going to be funded with a stream of lottery dollars, we think that there's investment opportunity in Oregon small business that the Oregon Investment Council cannot take advantage of because of the small size of the investments to be made. The Oregon Investment Council in investing both PERS funds and SAFE funds. We're compelled to make very large investments. We don't like to make any investments really under about $25, $30 million. We prefer to make investments of $200, $300, $400 million at a pop. Because those funds are so large, $30 billion. It really doesn't allow us to make small investments. We felt that there were really good smaller investments, $500,000 and up, that we could both benefit Oregon business, make a lot of money for someone. So we approached Senator Smith with that concept and said, we think if we create this Oregon growth account with lottery dollars, we can look at Oregon investments. If there are no investments, we'll just, you know, we won't worry about investing it that way. But if there are, we can take advantage of that and address a capital gap that we think exists in Oregon for those kinds of business. So the Trade and Economic Development Committee felt that, in fact, we should move it forward. We created the Oregon Growth Account. It was placed administratively under the Oregon Investment Council. Before funding actually took place, before we actually started rolling money, which was the last biennium, into the Oregon Growth Account, we had a long discussion with the Investment Council, and they felt that there, in fact, a conflict with them managing the Oregon Growth Account, that they needed to spend their time and energy on managing the PERS funds. We agreed with them, and we came up with a mechanism for separating the Oregon Growth Account out of the educational endowment, out from under the Oregon Investment Council, and keeping it under the EEF, the Educational Endowment Fund, but separating from the responsibility of the Oregon Investment Council. The Oregon Investment Council agreed with that. We proposed the idea to the Trade and Economic Development Committee, and it was universally accepted. House Bill 2291, I think was, 2011, 1997, removed that responsibility from the Oregon Investment Council and created a separate board for the Oregon Growth Account so that there would be the oversight, the audit trail would be there, all of the oversight would be there, and the reporting from of that board to the legislature, and it created all that structure. When we created the structure, conjured my experience that it's difficult to create a perfect bill every time, and there were some things that we needed to still pay attention to, and it's those things that we're addressing in Senate Bill 188 and Senate Bill 189. And they're really, the way it was initially envisioned and the way it was allowed to function under the Oregon Investment Council. With that, I'm going to ask Cynthia if she could just go ahead and walk us through Senate Bill 188. And
well, it basically hopefully accomplishes what Raleigh.
Cynthia, if you would, for the record, speak.
I'm sorry, my name is Cynthia Burns. I'm with the Attorney General's Office. As Raleigh said, this bill is really sort of tying up some loose ends that were left after the account was transferred from the jurisdiction of the Oregon Investment Council to a separate board within the EEF. Section 1 clarifies that the Oregon Investment Council doesn't develop policies for the growth account. The ORTDF was previously listed there, a board that you heard about the other day, and this just adds the growth account to the same category. Requires that the OGA is reported on as a separate entity in the Education Endowment Fund. The Education Endowment Fund, the treasurer has some reporting responsibilities for the fund as a whole. So when he reports on that, he also needs to report on the growth account. So that clarifies that relationship. Section 4 clarifies that the board can enter into a limited partnership agreement as a management agreement. We touched on this issue with the ORTDF the other day also.
Yes.
Under this structure, they can enter into a limited partnership where the general partner will, in essence, be managing the monies for them. And this clarifies that they can do that kind of arrangement.
That's how we manage the Oregon Investment
Council. So this is actually, if I may jump in, this is actually modeled after the Oregon Investment Council then?
It originally was, yes. It was contemplated that these funds would be invested very similarly to the way alternative equity investments and things like that are done for the Oregon Investment Council or by the Oregon Investment Council. Okay. Subsection 6 provides confidentiality of records for the growth account. When people come to the Oregon Investment Council and provide them with business information upon which they can make a decision as to whether to invest or not, there's a confidentiality provision given that those records will not be disclosed under the Public Records Act. When the Oregon Growth Account was transferred away from the Oregon Investment Council, that confidentiality didn't go with them. So this is giving it back so that they are on the same footing as a lot of other state boards and commissions that make loans or provide investment dollars. where when people come to them and disclose the kind of business and financial information that you would want to have to make an investment or a loan decision, those people know that a third party can't come in and make a public records request and get their sensitive business information.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what it does.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to add? Any questions? Wow. Okay. Well, we should maybe put this on hold for a couple of weeks. No. If there's no other questions or anything, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 188, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 188. And I really don't see any reason why we shouldn't move it along. Okay. It's been moved by Representative Montgomery to forward Senate Bill 188 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay. Let's see, since we don't have Representative Deckard, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Deckard?
Excuse me.
Representative Montgomery?
Here. Hi. Here too. I'm really not here on the poll, but I'm pretty good.
Aye. The bill is passed on to the full committee for a with a due pass recommendation. Thank you. Oh, Carrier. Would you like to carry it? Twist your arm. Yeah, Representative Montgomery will be the carrier. Okay. Done with that one? I know. Are we done with that one? Always check before you move on. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 188. It is passed on to full committee. And I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 189. And Jason, why don't you tell us about it?
Mr. Chair, this bill, Senate Bill 189, seems a little bit less complicated than the last bill. It eliminates the requirements of the State Treasury report to the Governor and to the Legislative Assembly on investment of state funds for venture capital purposes, and it reorders the OGA definitions throughout. This bill passed the Senate unanimously again, 28-0, with two people being excused, and the issues that were discussed in the one work session were confirmation that a report is issued. The State Treasurer's Office further asserts that this bill eliminates duplicative reporting requirements and potentially creates efficiencies and saves taxpayers.
At all? True. Thank you. Raleigh or Cynthia, would you like to?
Mr. Chair, for the record, again, on this bill, my name is Raleigh Wisprock, and I'm the Deputy Treasury. That's pretty well it. When we transferred from the Oregon Investment Council and created a separate board, we gave that board the responsibility to report to the legislature. The reporting will happen. It's just required of a different board. It's part of the Treasury crew, the board, the Oregon Growth Council. There was a remnant that was left under the Oregon Investment Council was that they are also required to report and develop policies for the Oregon Growth Council. Since we removed them from the authority of the OIC, it's no longer required that the OIC develop policies. They have no say. We've already made that segregation. And yet that remnant ORS 293-803 is still on the book. And we're cleaning that up and avoiding the duplication. We don't want to get them in trouble in future years by saying where we should report. But there is, I assure you, there is responsibility for us to report to the legislature, to report to basically everybody.
Cynthia, did you want to add anything to it?
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Are there any questions?
I don't want to dwell on it too long, and I'm reading in here with the files of mine, Mr. Chairman, but on line 11, explaining what affordable housing is, I guess I'm asking what is, talking about the price of the house being, the cost of a home being the medium gross income, is that the that's what they really intended to do? The house is going to cost what the medium income is, or the medium priced houses in the area? Maybe I'm missing it.
I think what it's describing, Raleigh can correct me, is generally affordable housing is usually in the concept of multifamily dwellings, and there's income requirements for the people that can live in those, and the pricing of the rental units compared to fair market value. And I think that's what that's trying to get at.
I guess, yeah, the word rental should be in there someplace. Now I understand what it means.
Okay.
I don't want to get, I'm not an attorney, so I'm out of there. Thank you.
Okay, we took that definition from the housing agency. This was not ours. We contributed to the Trade and Economic Development Committee in 95 and in 97. Because affordable housing was part of the concept, they helped the Trade Committee draft what that language should be.
Oh, okay. Any other questions? Okay, then I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 189, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 189, and I don't see any reason why we shouldn't move this one along either. Would you like to make that motion, Representative Rosenbaum?
Sure, Mr. Chair. I'll move Senate Bill 189 to the full committee for the due pass recommendation.
Okay. It's been moved by Representative Rosenbaum to what are we doing with this?
Move
Senate Bill 189.
Senate Bill
189 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Go ahead and call the roll, please, Lynetta.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make a 15-minute vote explanation on this bill because I've thought it through, and I just really, yes.
Mr. Chairman, it's two steps out that window. Representative
Montgomery?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Chair Connell?
Yes. Okay. Senate Bill 189 is moved into the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and I need a carrier. Since Representative Decker wanted to do a 15-minute explanation of his vote, maybe...
I will carry it.
William?
I do like
great.
It. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Decker will be the carrier of Senate Bill 189 to the full committee. And I end the... close the public... Let's see. What is this? Work session. Senate Bill 189. There's not anything else we need to do?
I think I'm going to be sick on Friday. Are we having a meeting Friday?
No, the full committee is meeting on Friday afternoon.
Just public hearing.
And it's just, yes, most of us are going to be sick.
Thank you.
Okay. I hear the coast is good for, like, recovering from sickness.
That's
going to look for a ship coming up past Seaside.
Okay, thank you.
On the beach.
Thank you. I adjourn the meeting without objection.